We're going to be covering Psalms 99 through 122. Earlier today, Gina gave me a little card with some information on it. Some I knew, some I didn't know. Or if I did know, I had seen your moment and just didn't remember. But into this part of Psalms, the shortest chapter in the Bible is Psalms 117. The longest chapter, of course, is Psalms 119. In the center of the Bible, as far as books and everything is concerned, is Psalms 118. There are 594 chapters before Psalms 118 and 594 chapters after Psalms 118. And if you add them together, you get 1188. Okay. The center verse in the Bible is Psalms 118, verse 8, which says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in man." Interesting information. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it. The last time that I got up here, which I have heard about continuously since then, went a little long, which is totally contrary to my character. So, what I'm going to try to do tonight is go a little short and average it out between the two. Okay? We'll see how that works out. And then everybody, I'll get back at you for that. Now, an elderly gentleman was standing out on his front lawn, and while he was there, this golden retriever came up, kind of nuzzled up next to him. He reached down, patted the dog. He could tell that he had been fed pretty good, so he knew he wasn't a stray. And he noticed that the dog had a collar on, so he knew somebody owned him. Short time later, the gentleman went into his house, and the dog followed him in, went down to his family room there, jumped up on the sofa, and went to sleep. About an hour later, the dog got up and went to the door. Guy got up, opened the door, let the dog out. The dog kind of paused, wagged his tail, and took on off down the street. Next day, the man noticed that about the same time, the dog was sitting at his door. So he opened the door, dog came in, tried it into the family room, jumped up on the sofa and went to sleep. About an hour later, the dog got up, went to the door, guy opened the door, and the dog headed out, kind of wagged his tail, thank you, and went on down the street. Well, this went on for a couple of weeks. So one day when the dog got ready to go, the man wrote a note, attached it to its collar. This note said, "Your dog has been coming and taking a nap at my house every afternoon." The next day, the dog showed up at the man's front door again. There was a note attached to its collar. The man reached down, opened the note, and this is what the note said. Said, "The dog lives in a house with four very active young children. He comes to your house to get a nap and rest. Can I join him?" Okay. When we're reading through Psalms, one of the things that I have tried to put into it this time as I was reading and notice more than I have ever in the past is the emotion that has gone into the writers. You know, when you sit down, maybe passe to say when you used to write letters, because everybody sends emails and everything nowadays, but when you used to sit down and write letters, there was emotion involved in doing that. You know, and when you, if you can remember, studying poetry and prose and that type of thing back in school, there was emotion involved. And when you're reading books now, you get emotion involved with different characters. Well, we have in Psalms a lot of emotions that the different authors put in. And I just made a list of some of the ones that I recognize. Some of them I'm sure you probably recognize more than I did. But some of them are just anguish, anger. Some of the Psalms were written as Psalms of confession, where you're just pouring out your inner feelings. Some are depression, where it's just the world is against me. Others are fear. We have Psalms of praise, of gratitude, of thanksgiving, Psalms of joy, Psalms of trust. And then some of the Psalms are just historical, recounting past events and praising God for his treatment, particularly of the children of Israel. I've kind of, for our study this evening, taken the Psalms and kind of tried to see how they kind of categorize into this. Psalms 99 through 101 are basically songs of rejoicing. Psalms 102 is one of anguish, of just severe anguish. 103 through 106 basically are praise and deal with history of the children of Israel. And 107 through the remainder of our reading deals a lot with man's relationship to God. Some of praise, some are just songs that were sung, and then we have a few in there, just some of anguish again. So let's just kind of start here, and we'll start in 99 and take a look. And what I tried to do, again, is just get a little snippet of each of the Psalms and what they kind of represent. Psalms 99 is represented as a royal psalm. It's dealing with the Lord is the king. When you look in the first five verses, you see that the Lord is king over everyone, but he was king over Israel in a very special way. And we read that in those first five verses. And in the latter part of the chapter, from 6 through 9, we read where the Lord, how special he was to Israel. And we see in particular, he says, Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel was among those that had called upon his name. And they called upon the Lord, and he answered them. We can see that they had a very good relationship with God. Psalms 100. Let's look at it. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Boy, I bet some of us could just close the Bible and repeat it by heart. You know, the sad thing is, it's a great song of praise. And what saddens me is that when I was in elementary school, at least two or three times a week, the class in, you know, school would recite this song. Too bad, they can't do that anymore, because it is such a great verse. Okay, and of course, the 23rd was another one that I'm sure many of us memorized and did the same thing in school back then. We recited those particular two Psalms, memorized them. Psalms 101. This may have been written when David first became the king of Israel, because we see that he is talking about things that he's going to do or looking forward to do. Okay, and he says that there are two things, that he'll sing about God in God's kind of love and justice, that God is kind and that God is fair, and that he himself will try to be kind and fair as the ruler. Okay? That he won't let the bad people work for him. He didn't want bad people around him. And we see in verse 3 and 4, he says, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It will not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. Okay. So, Psalm 102. This, of all the psalms that we have this evening in our study, or in our reading for this past week, is just a great song of anguish. I mean, when you look at this thing, the author of it is just pouring out his soul to God. It is like the depths of, man, can it get any worse than this? Okay, you just almost overwhelm. In the first 11 verses, he talks about his illness. And then he talks about how God will help and build Jerusalem again. And then toward the end, he talks about that he would soon possibly die, but that God would continue and go on. But to see his anguish, look at verses 3 through 5. It says, for my days are consumed like a smoke, and my bones are burned like a hearth. My heart is stricken and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. Because of the sound of my groaning, my bones cling to my skin. I mean, I'm sure all of us have been sick at one time, and you just, it hurts to move, and you can almost feel the agony this writer is going through, just pouring out the, like I said, the agony he's in to God. Psalm 103. Here we have a psalm of praise, of joy. The psalm says of David, first 5 verses, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Wow, he is just praising God for God's love and God's tenderness to look over him. Okay. Psalm 104. Here we have another psalm of praise. The first 9 verses we see basically about praising God and his creation of the earth. Okay. Verse 5 through 6, the writer says, that you laid the foundations of the earth so that it should not be moved forever. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains. When did the water stand above the mountains? During the flood. Yeah. So he's praising God. Realize, you know, that you created this world. He destroyed this world, and now we're back to it. The interesting thing is, when we get down toward the end of the chapter, he talks about that God, throughout all of this, never leaves. He's always there. He's always taking care of things. Verses 27 through 30. These all wait for you, that you may give them their food in due season. What you give them, they gather in. You open your hand, they are filled with good. You hide your face, and they are troubled. You take away their breath, they die, and return to their dust. But you send forth your spirit, and they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. Everything goes in cycles. We live, we die. God is eternal. He's always there taking care. And the author of that is stating those points. Psalm 105, here we see some of the historical parts getting into where God is praised for his faithfulness and for his taking care of the children of Israel. We see in verses again, 5-6, he says, "Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgment of his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Israel, of Jacob, his chosen ones." Again, just a praise of the way God has dealt with the children of Israel when they have gone into bondage, repented of their sins, come, he's brought them out of bondage, and repeated over again several times, but God's always been there for them. 106. Again, one of the Psalms where it doesn't give us exactly who the author is, but again, this is another psalm of praise, of God's dealing and talking about the history of how he has dealt with the children of Israel. "Praise God, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever." Verses 6 through 8, "We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember the multitude of your mercies, but rebelled by the sea," the Red Sea. He talks about how God dwelt with them. But when we see down in verses 44, 45, he said, "Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry, and for their sake he remembered his covenant and relented according to the multitude of his mercies." God listened to the children of Israel. When they sinned, they were into bondage. Once he brought them out of Egypt, and he was with them. 107. Here we have another psalm dealing again with God and his taking care of the children of Israel and his work in delivering them. Verse 1, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Verses 4 through 6, "They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. They were hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. And then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress." God was always with his people. And in verse 43, he talks about, "Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord." As you read through the rest of the psalm, it repeats over and over the things that the children of Israel did and how God was with them and how he forgave them and took care of them and what happened to them again and again, how God took care of them. And at the end, we have God and the author here are saying, observe these things, knowing that God was with them, he'll be with you. 108. 108 is kind of unique. 108, we can take it in two parts. The first five verses are parallel to Psalms 57. And the last eight verses are parallel and come out of Psalm 60. So David, when he wrote this, if you look back, you'll see the first five verses come from one psalm. Last eight verses come from another psalm. Now you go, well, why did he do that? Have you ever sat down and written something, and then months later, or weeks later, or possibly years later, discovered some of your current writing totally parallels exactly what you wrote previously? Evidently, this is one of the things that David did. Being a writer of poetry or writing of psalms and singing, he just took two that he had previously written, thought of them again, put two of them together and created this. Interesting little part. Read it many times. I wasn't aware that this had actually come from other psalms. Psalms 109. This, again, is one of those psalms of kind of anguish. The psalm of David. He's looking to God to punish. He's not happy with somebody. We just don't know who, but he's not happy. When you read verses 2 and 3, "For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful have opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They've surrounded me with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause." I mean, he is just sitting here pouring out all of his inner feelings to the Lord. Okay? He is not happy a bit. And he is going to the Lord because he wants the Lord to do something. And when we look down in verses 26 and 27, he says, "Help me, O Lord my God, and save me according to your mercy, that they may know that this is your hand, that you, Lord, have done it." Whatever is happening to him, whatever is going on, he's petitioning the Lord to help him and to take care of this. And he's going, do it in such a way that when you do whatever you do, that the people will know that you, God, did this. Psalm 110. Psalm 110. "The Lord said to my Lord, set at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." Very familiar sounding verse. We go back and we look forward. We go to Matthew chapter 22. And let me read to you, beginning in verse 41 through the end of the chapter, which is just four verses. "And while the Pharisees," this is when Christ was talking, he said, "And while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question. What do you think about the Christ, and whose son is he? And they said unto him, the son of David. And he said to them, then how did David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, set at my right hand until I put your enemies beneath your feet. And David then called upon the Lord, how is he his son? And no one was able to answer him a word, nor did anyone dare from that day on ask him another question." What we have is Christ quoting exactly from this part of Psalm. Excuse me just a second when I get back there. But, the Lord, in order to answer the Pharisees, quoted the first verse of Psalm here, 110. And in verse 4, we see where David writes that the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Again, Melchizedek was a priest who was not of the Levitical lineage. And so when you look back, we see here where possibly this is one of these messianic prophecies, or maybe a little foretelling of what was to come, where David is acknowledging that the Lord that he is talking with here will be a priest forever according to that particular order of Melchizedek. Remember, Melchizedek was what? He was a king and a priest. And just like Christ is our king and a priest. Okay. Psalm 111. From here on out through basically the remainder part of this chapter, or our readings this evening. We're getting into the Psalms that are not that long. Some of them are a few verses, but mainly they are songs of praise. This one is written praising God for, again, taking care of his people. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart in the company of the upright and in the assembly. Verses 5 and 6, he's given food to those who fear him. He will remember his covenant forever. He's made known to his people the power of his works and giving them the heritage of nations. Verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Yeah, a good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. You can hear the joy in his writing where he is praising the Lord for looking after his people and taking care of the people. Verse on Psalm 112, we have another one, a psalm of praise and instructing people, basically, or telling people to fear God, not fear God to be afraid, but fear God because he is the creator. He is the one who is in control. And we see it. Praise the Lord. How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. Psalms 113. Again, we have another psalm of just praise. Humbling yourself before God. Verses 4 and 5, the Lord is high above all nations. His glory is above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who is enthroned on high, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? Praising God. 114, this is another one dealing with the children of Israel and God's treatment of them, showing God's power in the Exodus. The children of Israel came out of Egypt. First four verses, when Israel went forth from Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, Judah became his sanctuary, Israel his dominion. The sea looked and fled, the Jordan turned back, the mountains skipped like rams, the hills like lambs. Just describing and praising God for bringing the children of Israel out of bondage. 115, another psalm, but this one is a little different. It's a psalm of trust, a psalm of joy, trusting God and not in things that are made of man. Look at verses 2 through 9. Why should the nations say, where now is their God? But our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the works of man's hands. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have noses, but they cannot smell. They have feet, but they cannot feel. Or hands, they cannot feel. They have feet, but they cannot walk. They cannot make a sound with their throats. Those who make them will become like them, and everyone who trusts in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help, their shield. Okay. I think he covered all the senses in that one. Okay. I don't think there was anything left out. Realizing that things made of man are man-made. Things made of God, totally different. Psalm 116. Another song of praise and deliverance, but this time from death. Verses 3 and 4, the cords of death encompass me, and the terrors of Sheol come upon me. I find distress and sorrow, but then I call upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech you, save my life. 8 and 9, we see, for you have rescued my soul from death, and my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Okay. Another psalm of distress, fear, worry, but put his faith in the Lord and the Lord will deliver. 117, the shortest chapter of the Bible. Praise the Lord, all nations. Laud him, all people, for his loving kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord is everlasting. Praise the Lord. Doesn't get any shorter, but it says a whole lot, doesn't it? 118. This is another song of thanksgiving and another psalm of praise. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let Israel say his loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let the house of Aaron say his loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let those who fear the Lord say his loving kindness is everlasting. For my distress I called upon the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is for me. I will not fear. What can man do to me? How many times have we read and talked about, if the Lord is with us, who can be against us? And that's exactly what is being said in this psalm. 119. Okay, that'll take about 30 minutes, so get comfortable. No. 119. 119, if you look at the mechanics, as we say, that make up this longest chapter in the Bible, remember, it was written in the original Hebrew. So it starts off with the first letter of the Hebrew language. And that takes up the first 8 verses. And then the second letter of the Hebrew language begins the next 8 verses. And each of these sections, each part is begun and used with the letter of the Hebrew language. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew language, 8 verses in each one of these. Mathematicians that we all are, 8 times 22, 176. That's how you get 176 verses. Okay. This was probably written by various people and used as a song. Not the whole thing, because if you did, you'd never get to anything. But each section was probably a song that the people learned. Just like we were talking about memorizing Psalms 23 and Psalms 100, probably each of these sections, just like we know songs in our songbook, and probably can, for many of them, close the book and sing the song because we've learned them over the years. Well, that's what the children of Israel did with these passages. They learned them over the years, and they sang sections of this as they went into worship. At least that's what many people believe. As far as covering it, this particular psalm covers the gambit of emotions and of praise, of psalms of, you know, sections of joy, talking about, again, God dealing with man, God dealing with the children of Israel. You've read it once, maybe twice. You can read it some more, and that's all we're going to discuss of it. Psalms 120. Psalms 120 talks about that little thing that seems to get a lot of people in trouble for various reasons, and that is the tongue. This is another psalm of anguish, of having problem with this. The first 3 verses. In my trouble I cried to the Lord and he answered me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you and what shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? I've always wondered if somebody is speaking against him or if whoever wrote this psalm is having trouble with his own tongue. Whatever it is, he is going to the Lord asking for help in that sense. Psalm 121, this is a psalm of trust. The writer says in the first 2 verses, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains, from where shall come my help? My help comes from the Lord, who has made heaven and earth. Yeah. Trust in God. Turn to Him. And in Psalm 122, the verse that I read when we started our services this morning, I will be glad when they say to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Nowadays, with cell phones, we seem to not be able to get away and have some peace. Back when I was actively working and doing a lot of business, we didn't have cell phones. We had pagers, but we didn't have cell phones. One of the things I always look forward to was coming to services, not only for worship, but for peace. You know, we can get so wrapped up in our daily lives and things that are going on. You just want to have a time where you can just get away and decompress. And I always knew, like it says here, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. I knew back then, I can go to worship service. I can worship God. And when I walk through those doors, no one is going to call me. I'm not going to have to deal with some problem that, you know, we daily have to deal with. I can walk in here, be with like-minded people, and have some peace and decompress and rest. And that's what we go, one of the great things we can go to the Lord for. And that's one of the great things that we see in the Psalms. And that concludes what I have prepared for this evening. Anybody have any questions, comments, or anything? Yes?
One more comment about Psalm 119.
Okay.
I had to open my Bible, so I'm going to go over this.
Okay.
All but seven of the 186 verses, a synonym for the Word of God.
Okay. The next time you go back and read that, everybody, look for that. That's good. Okay. Anything else? If not, then we'll meet again this coming Wednesday at 7 o'clock for Bible study. We've got a few minutes to go, so I'll take that off my previous time, average it out. Okay. Brother Neil will come forward and lead us in our closing prayer, if you'll stand.